Brower, City Manager, Councilman Jay Musley, Councilman John McLeod, Mayor Kent Gwynn, Councilwoman Mary Sue Rich, Councilman Daniel Owen, and myself, Council President Susie Heimbachel. The topics for discussion today are the general fund presentation and the FY12-13 proposed budget. Before we get started, are there any public comments? All right, I will turn it over to our City Manager.
Thank you, Council President. I'm going to turn the time over to our Budget and Finance Department, our Chief Financial Officer, John Legge.
Thank you. Welcome to today's general fund workshop. This is the, I believe, third in the series of workshops. With that, I'll have turn over to Cindy Kelly, the Deputy Director, to take us through the general fund and the ancillary funds.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Cindy Kelly, Deputy Director, Office of Budget and Finance. We're going to focus on the general fund mainly today. This is the third workshop in the series. As a reminder, we've had the format workshop. We did our capital projects and replacement fund workshop, and now we are looking at the general fund and the smaller funds. Our next workshop after this will be our enterprise funds. Our last workshop will be the preliminary budget presentation, which brings the total budget in balance. That will be July 24th and August 14th, respectively. And then we will roll into our public hearings for adoption of the tentative budget and then the final budget towards the end of September. All workshops are scheduled for 11:30, and then the public hearings will be scheduled during a regular City Council meeting.
I have a question. What date are we scheduled to adopt the tentative millage rate and those millage rates?
We are scheduled to adopt the tentative millage rate on July 17th.
Okay.
So that'll be at the next.
And that will be at the council meeting.
Council meeting, that's correct.
Thank you.
And at that time, you will also adopt the dates for your public hearings, the tentative and the adopted.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to talk about several different things today. Council asked us at our last workshop to look at several different items in an effort to bring the general fund into balance. Adjusting our reserve policy is one of the options that we're going to look at today. Want to point out to council that the current revenue structure utilized in the general fund does incorporate the fee increases as requested by the departments. And we have fee increase requests from development services, engineering, recreation and parks, and telecommunications. In the book that was provided to council on your thumb drive, the fee schedule was in the book, and we highlighted in yellow the particular fees that were changing. All of the fee increases are related to covering the cost of providing that service. We all continue with our proactive approach to curtail current year expenses. I would have to provide much thanks to the department heads and their staffs, the fiscal managers as well, and related to us finding savings in the current year to be able to augment what we needed to do in fiscal year 13. We're also continuing to look at innovation and different ways to enhance and use technology in order to save money. And we're going to go through the different strategies that are available to us in continuing to close the budget gap and finally balance the general fund. I do want to point out that the other funds, which are our smaller funds that come along with the general fund, are all balanced revenues to expenditures. We do not have any use of reserves in any of the other funds. So we can go through any of those as council sees fit, but those are all balanced revenues to expense without the use of reserves. Just to give a little summary of the general fund, the general fund is the main operating fund of the city. It is where the majority of costs are paid for general services. We have multiple departments within the city that operate out of the general fund. The general fund is going to be balanced utilizing the rollback rate, which for fiscal year 13 is calculated at 6.1502. This is our revenue neutral option that allows the general fund to take in the same amount of revenue in 13 as it has taken in fiscal year 12. And if council will recall, the property appraiser estimated about a 5% decrease in our property values for fiscal 13. All of the cash balances are budgeted in the general fund. At the present time, we are still utilizing the 20% reserve balance. Council will see some options to reduce the 20% to some alternative number in an effort to balance the general fund, but at this time it is presently calculated at the 20% reserve level. Salaries have been kept at current levels. There are no raises programmed in the budget, with the exception of any increases that are due to contract employees in both police and fire. Whatever increases they're entitled to, those are remain in the budget. The enterprise fund transfers have been held at the current year levels, which, if council will recall, are increased levels from fiscal year 11. So we held those constant in an effort to balance the general fund. And again, the fee increases are programmed into the general fund. So should council elect not to accept any of the fee increases as proposed by the departments, the budget gap will increase by that difference. We have already allotted for the savings from the VSIP program, which is our voluntary separation incentive program. To date, we have had 21 employees elect to take our VSIP program. Of those employees, a few were in the general fund, and that will net the general fund approximately a $500,000 reduction in fiscal year 13. That is after we pay out their accruals in the current fiscal year, and we allot for any employees that elected to retain the health insurance going forward. So those reductions have already been programmed into the budget, allowing us to help close the gap. The city has also assumed the 2% increase that we received in our health insurance premiums. So this will be the second year in a row that the city is absorbing the health increase. If council will recall, in the current fiscal year, we absorbed the health increase and did not pass that on to the employees. And we have done that a second time. Just as a note for council, the VSIP program is open for election of taking the program through August 23rd. So if there are any additional participants that select the program and we have additional savings, we will incorporate those before we do final adoption of the budget. They do have until the end of the year to be able to negotiate their exit from the city, but the election period will close on August 23rd. Additionally, the general fund will be balanced using a transfer of $1 million from the 1/8 mil police and fire fund. And if council will recall, in the current fiscal year, we transferred $2.5 million from the 1/8 mil police and fire fund. That has been reduced to $1 million in 13. So without that transfer, our gap would be 3.2 instead of 2.2. So we do have some plans that we will talk about when we get to Mr. Rauer's section of the presentation of how we plan to mitigate that transfer and not have to rely on it in future fiscal years. Does anyone have any questions? We're going to go through the millage. I just want to remind council that there's there were some statutory changes that took place back in 2008 related to the maximum millage that council is allowed to set. When council adopts the millage rate on July 17th, that is your tentative millage rate. That would represent your ceiling. So whatever rate you choose to adopt on the 17th will be the maximum rate that council can levy. Council does have the option to reduce the millage rate from that point at either the first hearing, the tentative hearing, and again at the final hearing, which is the adopted budget hearing. So that is the maximum. And again, we are recommending the rollback rate. Council has some other rates that they can choose to adopt. The millage rate, if council were to choose to adopt something other than the rollback rate, and council wanted to elect a different rate, you are capped at not more than 110% of the rollback rate. Adjusted for growth, you would need a 2/3 vote of council to adopt a rate up to 110% of rollback. Any rate that would be in excess of 100% of rollback would need to be a unanimous vote of council or by a referendum of these citizens. We're going to show you what the rates are going to look like for fiscal year 13. We budget ad valorem at a 95% collection rate. We do not budget at 100% collection. In the current fiscal year, the rollback rate was 5.9332. The rollback rate for fiscal year 13 is going to be 6.1502. And again, as a reminder, the rollback rate is an algebraic equation. We take the value of the city multiplied by the rate to net out the revenues. The rollback rate is adjusted for any new growth that occurs in the city. We are allowed to capture that new growth. So we do have a little bit of an uptick in our ad valorem proceeds due to some new growth experienced in the city. Additionally, your rates are adjusted by some factors in your maximum millage. You have some growth percentage, CPI index is used, so there's several calculations that go into adjusting the millage rate. The majority vote rate is 6.5276, and the two-thirds vote max is 7.1804. And anything above that 7.1 figure would have to be a referendum or a unanimous vote from council. And those would both obviously represent tax increases if we levy anything above the rollback rate. Questions?
Back up there for a second. You've got an asterisk there, rollback rate's not a tax increase. It's not a tax increase to us, but to the people it's paying. They're paying it if their property value remains the same or increases, and you've got a higher ad valorem tax, it's a tax increase.
Well, it's not, from a legal perspective, it's not a tax increase. There may be, well,
from a cash flow perspective,
there may be people that would pay more, but 5% drop in values would indicate that the majority of people would be paying less.
Yeah, I know.
Or the same.
The majority of people don't see me in the grocery store. The ones that see me in the grocery store remind me it's tax increase.
But from the city's perspective, it is
revenue neutral.
The city's, we don't get a penny more.
Oh, I understand, but the city's not paying the tax. The taxpayers
are
paying the tax.
Yeah, and well, I actually took some time and went back and looked at my my millage versus, you know, my property values for like since we've lived here about 8 years. And it's interesting because on years that the millage rate stayed the same, 1 year I had an increase, 1 year it was a decrease.
Oh yeah, it's all
you know, when it sometimes the millage rate goes up and I have a decrease. Sometimes the millage rate goes down and I have an increase. So it's, you know, it's just really
It's very haphazard.
And it's very hard to just make a blanket statement because really it is a formula with two variables.
Right.
And so it's hard to just say the millage rate's going up, all the taxes are going up, because it's just simply, you know, it depends.
Yeah. It depends on the assessed value of an individual property. And every 3 years, the property appraiser will have reevaluated all properties in the city. It's kind of on a rolling basis. And if your property value went up or if your property value went down, it does vary. But there are instances, you are correct, Mayor, in which someone could pay more even though the city did not technically levy a tax increase.
But it is good to let, you know, people know that we're not getting any more money, you know, than we got last year. We're
working
with the same amount.
Correct. This is a snapshot of what the general fund deficit looks like presently. If council will recall, there was a time where our deficit was between 8 and 9 million. Our deficit is now down to 2.2 million. Again, I give full credit to the department heads and their staffs for working so closely with the budget office in an effort to bring that gap down. There has been a lot of hard work on the part of the departments in reducing expenditures, reevaluating their contracts, getting lower prices. We have been able to transfer some costs out of the general fund. We've reevaluated our business, our operations, to see where was the most appropriate place to pay for certain operations from, and we were able to move some of those costs to different funding sources. Department heads have also done an excellent job of towing the line on replacements of positions. As a position becomes vacant, for whatever reason, the department heads are taking a hard look at their operation to determine whether or not they just need to fill that position. Mr. Brower has indicated many times that filling the position is the easy thing to do. Coming back with a revised operating plan or reorganization of some sort, utilization of technology is where the innovation comes in. And I'll have to say our department heads have been extremely innovative in how they've gotten some things done. And that's in great part what has enabled us to get the gap down as far as it is. With that, we're going to roll into some of the options for closing the gap. To give council a better understanding of how that budget gap works, we basically have two elements to the budget. We have our cash balance forward and reserve piece, and then we have our revenues and expenditures. So starting with the cash balance forward, that $16.5 million, that is an estimate of what we expect to have left over at the end of fiscal year 12. So when we've paid all of our expenses and got all our revenues and we close our books, that is the present estimate of what we plan to have remaining. If council will recall, in the current fiscal year, our estimate was $21 million. So we are utilizing the reserves as anticipated in the current year to, you know, to pay out all of our expenses for the year. What the cash balance forward is planned to be used for is to fund the different reserves that are needed to be funded within the general fund. Per council's direction, we are not utilizing any of those reserves to balance the revenues to expenditure side. So looking at that balance, how we break that down, the first reserve you see is our reserve for fund balance. That is the 20% of expenditures that we are required to keep per our fiscal policy. So as expenditures decrease in the general fund, obviously how much we maintain in that account would decrease accordingly. So that number is down from the current year. In the current year, it's about $13.5 million in our 20% reserve, but with the reduction in expenditures, that's come down to about 12.9. So that is a fixed number based on the amount of expenditures in the general fund. The next reserve you see is our reserve for contingencies. That is council's reserve to be used in the event of any emergency that the city may face. 1.1 is what we have calculated to be available for our reserve for contingency. If council will recall, in the current fiscal year, we adopted $2.5 million in reserve for contingencies. But when we closed the books, we had less revenue than we anticipated, and we came back and we reduced that reserve for contingency to $1.5 million. We also reduced the reserve for economic development from $1 million down to $500,000. So this is the amount that we anticipate to be available for reserves in the future fiscal year. This number can be changed at council's discretion, you know, up or down, whatever council's pleasure is for the reserve for contingencies. However, just as a reminder, this is the money that's available for not only an emergency, it's available for anything that may come up. If we have a economic development deal that we need to pay for, this is where that money would come out of. In the current fiscal year, we set aside a specific reserve for economic development. In fiscal year 13, we are not able to do that. We do not have the available free cash to be able to set aside a particular reserve just for economic development. So just a word of caution to council that this reserve contingency would kind of be all the money that you have available to you. The next few reserves, the grant match, the affordable housing tree mitigation, and the science center are all fixed numbers. Those cannot be changed. The reserve for grant match, if council will recall, that is the remainder of funds that is left from the bequest we had for the fire department. The SOAP Trust left about $200,000 to the fire department, and they are using that to match grant funds and, you know, bring down dollars to us. So that's what's left for them. Affordable housing is a fixed amount that's left. We collect a certain amount of fees, and some of that goes towards affordable housing, and that money is available for those endeavors. The reserve for tree mitigation, is just for that. We look at what we collected in the year, what we spent, and we net that out, and that's what's available. The Discovery Science Center, that was a donation made to the city to fix up the Discovery Science Center, and so those monies are being held until at which point we actually undertake that project. The reserve for salaries, overtime, retirement, and VSIP, that is a number that council can adjust upwards or downwards at their discretion. We set aside money each year for those employees that we know are retiring in the next fiscal year so that we have the available dollars to pay out all of their accruals. We also set aside some money for overtime in the event that we have a storm, or we have a wildfires, or the police department has a special case that takes a lot of overtime. We don't want to impact their departmental budgets with what-if scenarios, so we always set aside a certain amount of money so that if those issues arise, we have the available funding to cover the overtime costs. And we've also budgeted some there this year for the VSIP participants. We do have some whose election date to leave crosses fiscal years, and so we know we'll have payouts in 13, so we've gone ahead and set aside the money so that it will be available to make those payouts. The last reserve that you see there is the building fund reserve. This is a fixed number as well. These dollars are unavailable for use in the general fund for general operating purposes. The building code directs that the fees that we collect specifically for the building function are to be spent on the building function. So as they collect fees and they have excess, it is set aside and it is used for building function specifically. So that is not money that we can use or change or redirect for any purpose. And that basically nets out the cash balance forward estimate. So as you can see, at this point, we are not expecting to have a reserve deficit. We are balanced out on the reserve side. On the other side is where we have some options. Our revenues are at 48.6. Our transfers in are at 13.9. The transfers in do include the transfers from the enterprise funds, as well as the currently programmed $1 million transfer from the 1/8 mil police fire fund, which leaves us with $62.5 million in revenues. Our expenditures at this time total to $64.8 million, which leaves us with a budget gap of $2.2 million. And we have several options that we have explored. We felt we would be remiss if we did not explore every available option to us. So council will see a lot of different strategies on the bottom. We made an attempt to categorize them as permanent or temporary to help give council an idea of if you enacted a particular strategy, what would your net benefit be? Would you be able to expect that this would be, you know, a permanent reduction, or would we be back next year, you know, looking for a way to fill in that gap? And Mr. Brower is going to go through his strategy on how we plan to implement some of these different strategies and what they mean and where we would go from here.
Thank you, Cindy. I'm going to make use of the overhead projector, so I'm going to take about 30 seconds to transition over there. Can everyone hear me okay? I had a microphone, I bent down, I'll try to speak as loud as I can. First of all, I also want to thank staff. They have been tremendous as we try to close this budget deficit. I think this is the biggest challenge, quite frankly, the city has faced in the last 20 or 30 years. In fact, probably even longer than that. As council knows, this is by far the worst recession the United States and this community has faced since the Great Depression of the 1930s. In fact, this recession is by far the longest and deepest recession that we've ever had. And that's why you've seen in various publications like the Wall Street Journal, it's now being affectionately referred to as the Great Recession. Fortunately, the city council over the past 10 or 15 years decided to accrue large reserve balances. And those large reserve balances have been very effective at allowing us to weather that storm fairly well. But as you know, those reserves are not sustainable. We're heading now into our fifth year of a recession of flat or declining revenues. And so with that, the city council has told me through the 2013-2012 strategic plan that taxes are not an option. We cannot burden the private sector with more taxes at this time, particularly as we're trying to attract new businesses and be competitive in attracting what few jobs are out there. As council members know, we are engaging in very aggressive action right now to attract as many jobs as we can. We are in competition with other cities, other counties, and other states for what few jobs there actually are. The council also indicated to me that, Matt, as you look to balance the general fund budget, you can no longer use reserves. And the reason for that is threefold. One is we got to have cash on hand to pay our bills, to make payroll. Two, we saw with Tropical Storm Debbie that Mother Nature from time to time will throw various curveballs at us, and we've got to be able to respond. And the third reason why the council said not to use reserves at this time is, of course, for our credit rating. The lower our reserves are, the greater likelihood that the rating agencies will lower our credit rating, thereby increasing our borrowing costs. And so, as council has instructed me not to use taxes or to reuse reserves, I have not done that in advancing this concept for balancing the general fund for next fiscal year. As promised, I'm gonna go over kind of set the stage a little bit, tee up kind of where we stand, tell the story just a little bit. As Cindy indicated, in the current fiscal year, 2012, we are using $4.5 million from reserves to balance the budget, okay? In 2013, I apologize. That deficit went up to $8 million. Okay? And there's a couple reasons why it did that. One is because of pension costs. Pension costs have become the largest cost driver in the city over time. Let me give you an example. In 2006, our pension cost for general employees, fire, and police was $6.7 million. Today, that cost has ballooned to $17 million. Which represents an increase in 7 years of 154%. It is by far the biggest cost driver and risk that we face today. The other reason why the deficit went up to $8 million is because, as Cindy indicated, a reduction in one-time funding. Cindy indicated that in the current year, we used $2.5 million from the 1/8 Fire Police Fund. That money, of course, is no longer available, therefore resulting in an increase in the deficit in the general fund. So our current target, through a lot of very hard work from staff, and again, I want to compliment them for the willingness to be innovative, to be enterprising, to be resourceful, and to look at things differently and look outside the box. The target right now is $2.3 million. And you might ask, why has that gone down from the $8 million? And there's really a couple reasons why it's reduced. One is that we have implemented the departmental cuts that we talked about earlier. And they range from about 4% up to 60% for some departments within the general fund. But on average, it's between 6 and 7% between the departments. The other reason it's gone down, the $2.3 million, is because we've diverted a lot of expenditures out of the general fund to other supporting funds. For example, we've converted or shifted some expenditures from the general fund to the gas tax fund, We've also shifted some expenditures from the general fund to the police trust fund as another means of trying to get that deficit down. So 2.3 is our target. So let's take a moment and talk about a strategy for closing that deficit. The first strategy is, I'm advocating, is to delay the fire station. Over the last 3, 4, 5 years, the city has accrued approximately $4 million of pay-as-you-go financing to redo fire station number one, which is located across from Tuscarora Park. I'm advocating that we take $1.3 million from that accrued reserve and bring it in to help balance, in part, the deficit of $2.3 million. The next aspect is I'm looking at funding $300,000 of the 800 megahertz system. Let me back up. 2 years ago, the city purchased a brand new radio system called 800 megahertz. And we financed it over 3 years, $1 million per year. The general fund's portion of that debt service is about $300,000. And I'm advocating that that not be funded out of the general fund, but that either be funded out of the fire station or out of one of the enterprise fund's reserves. We have that flexibility to do that. So that would help reduce the deficit by $300,000. The next strategy is I'm advocating that we take an additional $700,000 from the police department to help balance the general fund budget. You're probably asking yourself, why would I advocate that? A couple reasons. If you add what police department has cut to date with this additional $700,000, their average cut would be about 6.1%, right on line with what all the other departments have had to cut this current year. The second reason is, although this is the police department's first active year of participating in trying to solve this very difficult problem, for many of the city's departments, it is the third year, in some cases the fourth year, of budget cuts to help try to bring about that deficit in the general fund. So that would add up to the $2.3 million to close that budget deficit gap. But there's a couple other things I want to bring to the council's attention. If we can get the $700,000 from the police department, that, of course, would be a permanent cut from 1 year to the next. If we can move the $300,000 from the general fund into an enterprise reserve or another source, that would become a permanent cut for the general fund. The $1.3 million, however, is a one-time funding source, meaning next year I'm going to be sitting here trying to explain to you how I'm going to go about reducing the deficit of $1.3 million. And so what I'm advocating is over the next year, we undertake three initiatives, in addition to the seven initiatives I've already outlined for closing the budget deficit, to bring about a permanent closure to this $1.3 million deficit. And those three strategies are these. One is that we reconsider the consolidation of the fire 911 dispatch. That would net us approximately $500,000 savings annually. Two is to rebid or renegotiate our insurance, looking at trying to adjust it. So instead of offering three plans, we drop the premium or the Cadillac plan and go to two middle plans, recognizing that the city has a clinic now where employees can access with no copay, with no deductible, with no out-of-pocket, to see if we can't reevaluate and restructure our insurance so that we can save approximately $360,000 in the next fiscal year. And finally, I'm advocating to close the $1.3 million deficit is that next year, we have a number of employees that are in the drop right now. And every year, 3 to 6 employees, of course, will finish the drop program and conclude their employment with the city of Ocala. I'm advocating we freeze those positions. We do not rehire. And so I believe the savings from the dispatch, from the renegotiation of the insurance, and not filling the chairs of those drop employees that have left the city's employment should close that $1.3 million deficit. Now, the last thing I'm going to bring about is, even though this strategy that I'm bringing before you will close that deficit, understanding there's still a lot of moving parts out there. You can still see a downturn in the economy and see a decline in revenues next year. You can see an increase in pension costs. And either one of those scenarios means that we've got to go back to the drawing board and find ways of closing that deficit. And so what I have before you is a strategy which I believe is effective at closing the general fund deficit of $2.3 million, utilizing the delay of the fire station, moving out the $300,000 from the general fund to the enterprise reserves, and seeing if we can't solicit another $700,000 from the police department to close the gap of $2.3 million.
Matt, explain to me about the enterprise reserve.
The city has a general fund, and it's about $60 to $80 million. But the reality is, the city has a lot of enterprise funds. We have the electric fund, we have the water sewer fund, we have the solid waste fund, the airport fund, we have the stormwater fund, and a lot of these funds do have reserves. We also have a rate stabilization fund, which has a sizable reserve in that as well. And what I'm advocating is, if the council did not want to utilize additional monies from the fire station project, you could utilize the reserves from one or more of those enterprise funds to take the $300,000 off the general fund's books and put it on a enterprise fund.
What's the balance of all those reserve funds?
The balance across the board for all?
All of them.
I couldn't tell you in the aggregate. Their water and sewer has the largest reserve. The electric fund actually has very minimal reserves at this point.
The other two managers manage, right? That's that money.
No, they manage everything.
They manage everything.
Yes.
All the reserves.
Yes.
It's about 153 million, 140 something million.
Well, that's not just reserves. They manage all of our free operating cash. So some of that money is capital money.
Right.
Bond proceeds, so it's not all available money to be spent.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to turn the time back over to council members. Cindy, I'm not sure if anything more to add.
The only thing I want to point out is in the ancillary funds, the only fund I wanted to speak to was the Economic Improvement Fund. That is funded at the same level as in the current year. We do have a $400,000 transfer programmed into that fund. And the agencies that are funded out of that fund are funded at the current levels that they are in the current year. So we don't have any change in support of our Economic Improvement Fund.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I have a question. I did notice that we're funding it at the same level, and that we only spent about $186,000 of that last year. So we're going from a fund balance of $2.2 million to $2.6 million. Is that right?
That's correct. However, the Economic Improvement Fund does have long-term obligations. So some of that money is encumbered in out years.
Okay, so I don't see the obligations on the sheet.
Correct. They are just showing in the reserves at this point. But if the companies that they are under contract with, you know, produce the jobs they need to produce, and we have to cut the check, or they go to build something and we need to pay the fee.
Okay.
And the American Fresh Farms deal is funded in that fund.
Okay.
And so we have not experienced those costs yet. But my understanding is those are forthcoming, and that's about $1 million of that fund balance.
Okay, so the fund balance we need to keep for, what is the total of those expenditures that we have a contract with that we haven't funded yet? Do you know that?
I can answer that in a roundabout way. Mark is developing a spreadsheet that's identifying each of those projects, as well as the obligations the city's made to carrying those out. We'll have that done, if not today, shortly.
Okay.
The majority of it is spoken for, though, at this point.
Okay. So that's all right. That makes sense. Okay. Go ahead. That's all I have. Anybody else?
Yeah, just a couple of things. Council President Heinbachlin, Commissioner Stone, and our meeting in regards to the 911 consolidation, I had informed them that we're not going to be moving the police department dispatch over to the county, so that's not going to be happening. I don't know if that's included in that money, you know.
That is just fire.
That's in fire, okay. We're still gonna meet, but, you know, learn more about what's going on. Then the other thing is, Matt, you and I had spoken about, and I'll have Chief Graham come up and talk about, if we were to submit a budget with a $700,000 reduction, you know, that would take officers off the street, and I'm not prepared, obviously, to submit a budget that's going to jeopardize the safety of the citizens of this city. Council cannot fund it, and then, you know, that's up to y'all. Y'all control the budget, but I'm not going to submit one that, you know, jeopardizes citizens. Chief.
Greg Graham, police chief. I'm not sure specific question that you have.
Well, I was just saying he's talking about us reducing our budget another $700,000, which, you know, you and I have talked about, you know, would reduce, you know, police officers.
$700,000 equates to 12 sworn officers. Currently, right now, at the police department, we have 15 openings. Not all sworn officers. We have seven sworn positions that are open. The rest of them are part-time. There are five part-time positions, and there are some non-sworn positions. Those 15 positions, which includes a mix of sworn and non-sworn, equate to a savings of about $550,000 if we didn't fill those. So it's people. I got to cut people to get to $700,000.
Mrs. Rich.
Greg, I don't think anybody sitting up here wants to get rid of policemen. We need police. But aren't there other methods, something else in the police department besides sworn officers that you can work around or twist around or find a way to
meet
that $700,000?
Forget about
sworn officers.
Right. We've taken a hard look at all of our positions, as we do every time we have an opening. The issue, the police department has been innovative for years and reducing our budget, keeping our budget at as low as we could. I'll have to disagree with what the city manager said about the police department not participating the last couple of years. If that was the case, we've reduced our staff by 8 people, non-sworn people, in the last 3.5 years, or 4 years. So we're constantly looking at ways of saving money. Sworn officers cost more than non-sworn employees. Over the years, we've used some initiatives that have been applauded, not just by the city council, but other departments have been used by other departments, and have even been applauded by people have come in and done studies that we use non-sworn people to do sworn duties. In fact, our crime scene technicians and our community service specialists, we save roughly about $200,000 a year off our salary accounts by using them in enforcement positions that cops can do something different. We also have been doing a great job with our volunteers. We've got about $160,000 worth of savings in our volunteers last year by having them do some stuff that our sworn officers do. But the bottom line is, eventually, the phones still have to get answered. Dispatch still has to happen. Records have to be shuffled through and dispersed to wherever they need to go. And if you cut all of our non-sworn staff, you're basically still cutting sworn staff, because I'm going to have to pull sworn officers off the street to put them inside doing non-sworn duties at a considerably higher amount.
Matt, can I show him this?
Let me embellish that, yeah. Staff has come up. What Ms. Rich has is ideas that I've written down.
See if you can
may or may not be
do
considered.
Anything with that.
And Budget and Finance has also identified approximately $230,000 that would not require anyone being laid off. And this is just them plowing through the budget, looking for opportunities. And I'm not a police chief. I don't have expertise over that. And I'm not saying that any of these would be the solution.
Somebody put it on there so we can see what
When did this list come out?
That's my list.
That's Matt's.
I made that list up.
How long have you had this?
I made that up probably 24, 48 hours ago.
Okay.
Chief, could you put that on the bar so we could see what it is?
And if you recall, we've also got the Brookshire study that was done about 2 or 3 years ago. And I talked to the chief this morning, and although he's not familiar with this.
I don't know.
He is familiar that the study was done. And again, I'm just advocating that there's probably other opportunities here that haven't been looked at, and we'd like to serve as a resource to see if we can assist in that manner.
The list for me, we initially talked about the 911 consolidation, and we're certainly willing to sit and talk about it some more. We also started some discussions about what it would look like to bring fire into the police department, whether or not there may be some cost savings in that too, and even more so is more efficiency in how we respond to our community, how the 911 calls are answered, how they're passed off. So I've got no issues with talking about 911 consolidation. We have spoken about IT consolidation.
Right.
And, I welcome a complete and total study of our IT function, because I think the police department does IT better and more efficient than the city does. And I think there's potential savings in the police department doing IT for the city. So I'm more than willing to sit down and talk about that in that vein. The shutting down the West Side building.
Is that the West Side Auxiliary building? What is that?
District 1.
It's that building on 40.
District 1.
Oh.
I'm more than happy to sit down and talk about these.
We've done the departmental reorganization. We've already done that.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not an expert over there. I've got to rely upon the police chief. This is just a list I've simply been jotting down as an idea came to my mind. As I indicated, budget finance has identified approximately $230,000 of savings that could be gleaned by scrutinizing their accounts. We got the Brookshire study, which was also done a couple of years ago, and at that time it was rejected by both the fire chief and the police chief. And this may glean more ideas off of it. I don't know, but I think it's worth a look-see at. And again, I'd have to, allow the police to look at it and see if there is a way that this could be leveraged for more savings.
Be happy to look at it.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to look at it. I'd like to see where the $230,000 is, though. It's not on there.
Chief Graham, is it possible that there could be an administrative pool?
We currently do that to a certain extent.
With the city employees or just with the?
I'm not sure, based on where they need to be located within the organization, whether or not we can pool, but it's certainly something we can look at. Right now, we're one down in our administrative staff. We've also reduced those numbers, too, over the years. We've got two more that are leaving, and we're looking at the possibility of not filling those positions and using our existing administrative staff, and even going from full-time positions if we need to hire to a part-time position.
Let me ask, Mr. President.
Yes.
We're talking about the district office. When you talk about the auxiliary building, are you advocating not having a district office in West Ocala?
No, what I'm advocating, actually an idea that you gave me some
about
time
moving
ago.
Up to the Thelma Parker House?
No, you talked about wanting to, through a concept of maybe having a mobile station that you could interject to areas of high crime and have it stationed there to have some visibility. And that, I thought, was quite an interesting idea. No, so rather than having a building where you're constantly heating it and cooling it and maintaining it, you'd go with this new concept that you'd mentioned to me.
That wasn't my idea. This is where you were talking about moving the district office from the where it is now, because we were talking about doing the grocery store, to the Thelma Parker House. That was also
a concept. That's correct.
Yeah. Well, you got to understand too, those district offices were developed back in the early 90s as part of our community policing strategy, where we had we averaged around between 16 and 20 homicides a year. When we started our community policing efforts, we reduced that number from 16 to 20 a year to 2 a year. You got a way. We would pull out of an area of town, our constant presence in an area of town that probably doesn't need to be pulled out of.
So do a lot of people go in there just to ask questions and?
We do have
on
walk-in.
On a daily basis.
We do have walk-in traffic. I don't have those numbers in front of me as to how many actually show up, or what we do, or even if we continue to track that. But we do have a lot of walk. We do have walk-in traffic, yes, ma'am. And it's not just people walking in and being able to see a policeman right there. It's also the policeman being in that neighborhood and having ownership in that neighborhood, because that's where they work. If they don't work there, then bad analogy. But we're like hired guns. We go in, we do what we do, and then we leave. This is a constant presence in that area. It's a community policing philosophy that's embraced by every law enforcement agency, or most every progressive law enforcement agency in the nation. You've been involved in those meetings, Mr. Rich, you know.
No.
I mean, we were in the Weed and Seed grant that we got years ago, we were a nationally recognized training city based on our innovation and our progressiveness and the way we thought about and how we policed our community.
Anything else? I guess my only comments would be, and this is again just from my perspective, and it goes sort of touches on the IT consolidation, in that you know, just when we look at the whole city as a one entity, and you know, all together. It seems to me, and it's from my appearance, that we have a duplication, in that there is an HR department in the police department, and then we have an HR department in the city. We have that in IT. We have that in fleet to a degree. You know, y'all have your fleet department. We've got a fleet department, and it just it seems that those can somehow there would be a savings in bringing those people together. I don't know if that's been looked at.
Can I respond?
Sure,
respond?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's not entirely accurate that we have an HR department in our department. We have a person who coordinates with HR. HR takes our applications. HR does some of the preliminary testing.
Right.
But the stuff that can only be done by the police department is done by the police department. Background investigation, polygraph, some of the testing that we have to do that's different than the rest of the city. In fact, City HR asked me a couple months ago if we would be able to do the background investigations on the fire dispatchers because of the new CEGIS requirements. Mm-hmm. So we don't have separate HR departments.
So there only one person that's doing HR?
We have one person that's part of what she does.
Mm-hmm.
She also is a supervisor, the overall supervisor of our records division and our communications section and some other areas of the department. Fleet, we have one employee that liaisons with Fleet. He's in the drop. He's going to be leaving soon. It's not my intent to replace that position when he goes.
Okay, so then your fleet would be taken care of through the city's department?
Fleet is already taken care of through the city department.
Okay.
We have one employee who coordinates it all for us. Now, when he goes away, there's going to still have to be somebody within the organization that helps coordinate
right,
that.
Right.
But it won't be, that'll be part of their job, not their entire job.
Okay.
And then IT,
right,
yeah, we are very efficient in IT,
mm-hmm.
extremely efficient, and we save the city a lot of money, and I think there is some cost savings. But based on CEGIS requirements, FBI requirements, our own security policies and procedures, it's difficult to farm that out. It's easier for us to do it. And I think we could save the city a lot of money.
Okay. Are there any, Mr. Owen?
Could you run the city's IT department?
Could I? Absolutely.
I didn't hear you. What did you ask?
The IT consolidation.
If he could run the city's IT.
Police department could run IT. We always talk about the city running the police department. The question is, can the police department run the cities? I mean, it all goes on the table. We have IT. We've got computers. So it is what it is. So we've got X amount of machines. We've got all of this stuff that we've got to control around the city. Who can best do it and function it and run police, fire, and then just, you know, general employees? Just be an exercise to look at.
I asked the chief a month ago to take a look at that, to do a proposal, bring it forward, let us vet it, and so we look forward to having that discussion to see if that's the case.
I'm going to need some information from IT. Do I direct it to you or
you
to
go right
tenant?
Through with Sandra.
Okay.
How many employees do we have in our own, in the city's IT department?
17.
In the cities
17. Yeah, the city has a lot of large software they've got to operate.
Right.
I think Jeanette or Sandra might be able to talk that more than I. They've got the Eden software, they've got the customer billing software, they've got the electric software they've got to manage. So Jeanette would have to...
They're running software for the utilities as well.
Utilities, yeah, as well.
I mean, that runs the entire city.
Greg, how many do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. McLeod?
Chief, what kind of timeframe would you think it would take to come back with some kind of proposal on that?
On IT? Next week.
Okay.
Well, as quick as I get some of the information from the city.
Right, so it's fairly far along from that standpoint.
Yes, sir, we need some information that I haven't asked for yet from IT.
Okay.
And what I would do is, if I got that, I'd give it to our duplication committee, which was created under the blueprint fiscal sustainability, and allow them to work that and evaluate it.
Can I have my paper back?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Thanks, Joe. Do you have anything else for this?
No, Mr. Owen?
Yeah, I just, you know, we're all sitting up here, and it's not like, everybody knows what's in front of us. I mean, it's not fun, it's not pretty, and we're sitting here trying to figure out all of these things. The only thing I would ask, and I talked with Matt this morning on the, just an example, as we're going through this, you know, with the police department, we had that Berkshire study. Mr. McLeod, I know you don't like studies, but...
That was before you got here.
Before you got here, so...
I like internal studies that we don't have to pay somebody for.
It was a very beneficial study. I mean, we had the police department, I think, is that 2 years ago? I'm guessing.
The Berkshire?
Yeah.
Oh.
The Berkshire study.
2010.
Seven or eight.
2010?
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Studies are, sometimes they're useful and sometimes they're not useful, but they are. But when they're not useful is when a police chief and a fire chief says, we're not going to do any of it. We don't even want to look at it. I think the thing got thrown in the trash can. That's concerning to me. And what, as we're sitting through here, we've got all this in front of us, just like that list that you just came up with, Matt, here in the last 24 hours, you know, I've talked with the chief and things of IT, so we have, and I don't want to get, I don't want the council getting over into the micromanagement of IT. How are you going to run IT? I mean, what I hear is we got 20 people, you know, three and 17. Greg says he can make sure everybody's power bills get out. You say we can run the police department, IT. So I guess the only thing, as we're sitting here, is to meet and to get it all out on the table and look at the what-ifs operationally. What if IT didn't exist at the police department? How is that going to fall over here to our IT department running that? And then what if the 17 went to 12 or to 10, and all of a sudden the police department starts taking the bulk of IT? I mean, he's just sitting right here and said he can run it. So going through that process of just the what-ifs, and that's what every bit of this that we're going through, you know, it's disconcerting to say, well, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do this. What are we going to do? I mean, because at some point, we got to make a decision, we got to go somewhere. And so sit down, we're all in this together. You know, we need police, we need fire, and we need water. And so all of these things that we've, you know, Matt, now you talked about our core services at the city. What is it we're doing? What is it we're providing for the community? Yes, water and sewer make money. They're an enterprise fund. We're glad we've got it, which brings out, you know, the expansion of our urban service area and all of that stuff going away. It's a moneymaker. We need it. We've got reserves in there, which obviously can cover some of that. Police and fire. Police doesn't create wealth. Fire doesn't create wealth. They protect it, but they don't create it. So we've got all this community we're trying to protect and save and all of these great things that that the community has. So it just would seem to me that list that you just had, you know, of that just going through and just, it's a what-if scenario. What can it happen? Because everything's on the table. The dismantling of city IT versus the dismantling of you know, OPD, you know, and their IT, the consolidation, the dispatch, all of those things we have to go through. Because as you know, as you got it painted here, Matt, I mean, it's not going away. These things are not going away. So we can pull from the reserves and we can cover it and we can all feel good and tidy up this little budget and vote on it and kick down the road. And just like you said, you'll be sitting in the chair again next year and here we go again. So, and at some point we'll kick the reserves right down to zero. And so what can we do? And I would just ask, you know, don't say we're not going to do this, this, and this. Get in a room, sit down, and figure it out. You know, just figure it out. Are there ways? Because I'll promise you, that when you go through and go through that process, there'll be a few other little things that you can do. And once it does all get done, maybe the 700,000 in OPD gets cut to 500,000. You know, at least that's something by going just through the process. Maybe it goes all the way down. I mean, who knows? I mean, but just, you know, this drawing lines in the sand, just stop. You know, just everybody meet. Figure it out. Just figure it out. Say yes to everything, at least to meetings, and figure it out, because it can be done. And that's just what I would like to see happen, and that's just me.
Have you approached the school board with this attitude?
I've approached the school board with everything but a brick. And I understand we got a kickball game Friday, and I'm trying to get them to show up, because like a few of them I'd like to hit. But
three people can do the work of 17. We got 17 in the city, and we're going to transfer all that to three people at OPD. I don't think so. Unless there's a lot of people sitting in there.
You just got to look at it.
I know we got to look at it, but just from thinking about it, they have three,
right,
and we have 17.
And
we're
going to
get rid of those 17 and transfer all of it over to OPD.
No. The answer is, why is that? Why is there three and why is there 17? And what is it that the 17 do and the three do that can be joined together? That's the exercise. Yeah.
It's a creative exercise.
We want 12 people, and you better find eight that between the two of y'all. It's not that. It's what is the commonality? You want to be in charge and make sure the power bills go out every, you know, 15th of the month. Just sit in a room, talk about it, see what it is that you do on a daily basis, your three, see what the 17 do on a daily basis, and it's just an understanding of how the two would blend. That's all it is in action. And maybe they don't blend. Maybe if you come back, and that would be great that you come back and say, listen, there's absolutely no blending.
Yep.
But I'm going to say it again, we're over here, got our position, OPD's over here, got their position, and we're just not going to talk about it. We're experiencing that with the school board, for God's sake. I mean, where does it get you? It doesn't get you anywhere. And I know we're under the gun. We've got, it's a tight time frame. Greg says he can figure it out in the next 10 days. Let's just sit down and just look at daily, it's real easy. Daily duties of IT and the general, you know, the general employees, daily duties for IT and the police department, how do those two mesh? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I'll promise you, you'll probably find some commonality somewhere, somehow, and it gets just a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better.
And just to kind of elaborate, you know, we're one city, the city of Ocala. We're not the city and the police department. We're all together. Obviously, we have one budget. There's one pool of money. What is the best way to spend that money? You know, is the best way, you know, for the police department to do the IT, us to do the IT, you know, this person to do that, that person to do that? Again, you know, we don't need to be building silos, drawing lines in the sand. We're all working out of the same pot of money. It should all just everybody, how is the best way to save that and to do that most efficiently, and, you know, without the us and them and all of the other that goes along with that.
I just want one clarification. Greg Graham, OPD again. I'm not saying that I can run city IT with three people. Okay? There's no way I'm going to be able to run city IT with three people. I'm saying that I think there's some cost savings in us taking it over.
He can run it with 20.
I don't think it'll be 20.
I can name that tune.
Thank you.
And also as part of that list, Greg, sorry to keep get you to rip a hamstring here before to ruin your skiing this weekend.
I work for you.
On that list, the West Side auxiliary building, you know, being closed down. Don't we have one over here on 16th Ave or something?
Yeah, we have two. We actually have three, our third one back, or not back to, but we gave it to the fire department to try to help them save some money this year. But we had a third one. But yes, we have one on the east side, we have one on the west side.
List be expanded to auxiliary buildings in the city. I mean, look at each and every one of them, not just west side. Wherever we've got them, look at that program as in totality. You're saying it's community policing, all that is. And, you know, the weed and seed, I know that went away when 4 or 5 years ago.
It's been quite a while, yeah.
It's
I think it went away in eight.
What have we done to, I mean, where do we, have we replaced that, or we just moved on?
Part of the Weed and Seed grant was we were supposed to sustain the Weed and Seed effort after the grant went away. We still do a lot of the things that we did in the Weed and Seed grant that we got funding for, but a lot of that stuff's been cut, specifically our youth programs, as a result of cut funding issues. We have been successful in obtaining grants to be able to fund a lot of those the youth programs, but we saw a dramatic decrease in our crime, especially our youth crime, after we started doing more youth programs. And you know, we're pouring just a little bit of money in up front, and we're seeing huge dividends on the end. So you know, closing the district offices, you know, if that's something the council directs us to do, I can't say that I would support it, but it's community policing.
Well, I understand that, and it's not so much closing. It just, again, I go back to the utilization and what is, I take, for example, like the city auditorium, the city library that we had empty. I mean, when you go through just our list of buildings that we have, I remember going through, can you probably remember this, 7 or 8 years ago, we had all these buildings empty, and what are we going to do with them? And you go through and you're looking at the utilization of the building. What is it that happens in that building? Do we use it? Do we not use it? Do we need it? I mean, all of those types of things. And it's not of, hey, come back and figure out which one to close. Just that whole program, just it's a honest assessment. Look, the west side building, the east side building, any of those auxiliary, what are we getting out of it? Is there something we can do differently? Is there, you know, the mobile stuff that you're talking about, Matt? I don't know, but just, again, everything's on the table. We're just looking at it and seeing, you know, maybe we can tweak this a little bit. And so those are the types of exercises that it just seems like we haven't got to. I know we've gotten to a lot, but it would just be nice, again, for that to be just a team effort to figure out that utilization and who knows. And the Berkshire study, I would ask, I know, I just would ask you to read it. I'm not telling you to live it, do whatever. I'm just asking you to read it, and that would go a long way.
I will.
Mr. Mayor.
Matt, on that district office, West Ocala, what was the savings there that would be?
Again, the reason that list was created, Mayor, is you and I talked Friday, and you indicated that you're not going to support that. So I started thinking of ways in which, or opportunities in which things to be looked at. I don't know if these are solutions.
I'm just talking about that auxiliary district office. How would we save money by closing that up? Would we move it some? I mean, it is a mobile home, correct? I mean, is there a piece of property that?
Well, the way I understood the idea, as explained to me, is that it's mobile. It's like a movable building that you can plug into areas where there's high crime.
Building is a mobile.
It's like a trader or something.
Brought in there, yeah.
It's like a trader. Yeah. So you plug it into areas of high crime. You have a presence there. It's part of that community policing. And again, I'm not a police officer.
Right.
All I'm doing is saying I did a brainstorming activity, put it on the paper, and said this could be an idea.
Yeah, because I know we wanted to, we're looking at, I know Councilwoman Rick, we're looking at putting that, our group is looking at putting that grocery store there, so it would need to be moved for that, you know, unless they want to give us some space in, you know, the shopping center they end up doing there. But if there's another piece of property, we could take that building and relocate it somewhere else, or if that Thelma Parker house worked out, that, you know, we could somehow get that. If we already own it, you know.
I just feel like if I'm going to advocate another $700,000 savings from the police department, I don't think it's fair to say, here, cut back without giving them any ideas.
Right.
And they're the experts. They are the subject matter experts. They got to determine what works and doesn't work. But I would not be doing my job if said, you know, have you looked here? Have you looked at the savings budget finance? Here's an idea I've developed. Take a look.
Yeah. I was just trying to figure out how closing that's going to save, you know, money. Somebody not being there.
Y'all could always go school board on us and quit paying your utility bill.
And we can borrow portable from them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Are we going to take a break? Or we just going right on in the council meeting?
We're going to take a break, but I'm not finished yet.
Yeah. Okay. And she's got to get them.
a couple just kind of detailed questions that we didn't go over. In the Recreation and Parks budget, there's a section where it's titled Aid to Government Agencies, and I don't know what that is exactly, if you could explain that to me.
I would have Kathy Crowell come up, speak directly to Recreation and Parks budget.
Do you want me to show it to you? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, maybe if you just read me the account code.
1-2-1-2-1-5-7-2, but that's a zero.
And how much is it?
1-2-1-2-1-5-7-2-8-1-0-1-0-$9,000.
That's funds we get through the State of Florida Arts Tag.
Okay.
It actually goes to the county, and then they have designated the city's Arts Commission as the county's arts agency, and so those funds come to us, and they're dispersed through the for grants through the Arts Commission.
Then there's one for $59,000.
That's an inmate crew.
Okay, okay. All right, and the other one, 2984, same probably? It's the next one.
Let's see, that one's in 123, 2984. No, it's in general fund. I don't know off the top of my head. But I believe that one is payments to the state for the pool inspections.
Okay.
We call that aid.
It's aid, okay. Great. And the other question I have are, each year we get requests for funding, and I'm wondering if was that included in the budget, and who those funding requests have come from this year, and what amount?
Yeah, I believe the council has what it's called a discretionary fund that you can exercise for various groups that come in and request funding.
Right.
Veterans groups have come in the past, request $5,000. That funding amount, I believe, is the exact same. Is that correct? We reduced it, actually.
At Ms. Heimbuckle's request, we actually have reduced that funding. Yes, in the past, the agencies didn't necessarily give us a heads up that they're going to request funding. We do have agencies that come to us during our budget process and say, next year I'm going to need $10,000 or whatever it is. Council's discretionary fund is for those agencies that have just shown up.
Right.
And they've become historical in showing up every year. But we did reduce that funding this year. And I'm looking across to what we reduced it to. I want to say we reduced it by $10,000. Does that sound right? That's what we reduced it by.
So what is the total there now?
We're trying to get to that page.
Okay. In the meantime, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just want to go back to that other. Just saw that city council.
Uh-huh.
Go. Our proposal. Who's got it?
Oh,
it's not mine.
You got no control.
In the past, council has budgeted $23,000 just to for folks that show up, and we took that down to $6,300.
Okay. Has the new Chamber EDC group come forward with a request?
They have. Same request as in previous years, $145,000.
Okay. I'm going to read a little news article from August of last year.
Okay. I just have a question on the City Council's budget.
Go ahead. No. So we're not jumping around.
2012, our City Council budget is 50, and now we got 2013 is 73,000.
We adopted, that's just up to now, year to date. So we haven't finished the fiscal year yet.
I don't know where you see 73.
The amended 2012 is 50,000.
That's just health insurance increase.
Why are we up to?
Yeah, you've jumped.
Health insurance.
Well, why is that so big, do you know?
Somebody want to talk to me about that one?
From 52 to 73?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit up here and ask everybody else to cut, and our budget goes up. $23,000.
Health insurance must go up a lot.
Let's take a look at that. That could be bad data. Let's take a look at that.
Health insurance wouldn't double.
Yeah, it only increased by 2%, so that could be an error on our part or misstep.
Yeah, that's got to be.
Because...
that's based on what election each council member's made for health insurance, so we'll have to look at it and make sure we have the right elections in there.
Hey, we get no raise. What are you complaining about?
I would consider and ask the whole city to cut, and we're excited about a raise. You kidding me? I'm already on everybody's Christmas card list, I know, but I'd really get on after that.
think it's a Christmas card.
Okay. So y'all are going to look into that and see what's,
yes,
see what's going on?
Yes, we'd be delighted to.
And if it's a raise, just leave it.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the CEP, which is the new Chamber and Economic Partnership. Last August, when they chose to merge, this is part of what Ocala Star Banner wrote. Proponents unveiled a $1.54 million budget for the new organization, or about $350,000 less than the combined budgets of the Chamber and the EDC. That reflects the desire of the leaders to forego contributions from the Ocala City Council and the County Commission, which totaled $290,000 a year, and wholly fund the new agency from private sources. Supporters of that plan suggested that relinquishing government backing would make the new agency less susceptible to the whims of politicians. So I'm presuming that their request means that they have increased their appetite for political whims.
I don't think so. It's my understanding. It's my understanding that with the merger, as you know, that's been completed. The documents have been signed. They've been, I think, been wrapped up. It's going to take them a period of time to get back up to speed. And what they're asking for is essentially some seed money to get them up to speed. And in the future, what they would do is look to city for special projects to be a sponsor of maybe special undertakings.
Right. That's what it says. It says said they hope the city and the county would keep the funding and relate those to specific projects,
yes,
and not for their operational costs.
Yeah.
It's my inclination to deny the request. I don't know what the feeling of the other council members are, but I would just maybe open that up for discussion, which there is none.
Well, moving on.
I'm on my own.
I don't think that's, from my standpoint, a wise idea at this time. I mean, we're seeing a lot of momentum in getting companies to both come here and bring jobs and stuff to the community. The consolidation was expensive. It just didn't happen out of the blue. It cost a lot of money to actually consolidate and bring the two together. I think and I believe their goal is to not take any money from us in the future, and that's what we're getting towards. But at this time, to just yank the funding out from under them when they combine the two, I'm not sure that would be prudent.
We could have pizza. I bet we could ask him if they've chosen a lead on
Mr.
I would echo those sentiments. I think the consolidation took longer than they anticipated and was also a lot more difficult than they anticipated. The fact that they've got it done, I'd like to applaud them on that.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a great thing.
And I think it's going to be a great thing.
And I'd like to remind them of that for the next fiscal year request. But to just pull it out at this late stage of the game, I don't think would be appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, they are, that's the whole goal of the process, I think, to try to head towards self-sustainment. And
right.
I think they know they're on borrowed time.
Well, with that being said, I think some type of time frame that they could possibly give us to when they're going to get to that would be nice.
Pete Tesh is here. He cannot be able to speak to that if the council so desires.
Sure, we'll beat on him too.
Congratulations, Mr. Tesh.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Rich.
Saw you in the paper last week. You're the...
Well, I'm very honored, and thank you for bringing that up. Anything that I've done is on behalf of the community, and that award was only because of teamwork. And everything that we did, EDC, city, county, state, it's all partnership. So in the vein of the continued funding, even if it's on a contractual arrangement with CEP, I think it's very important that that continues, particularly on a contractual level for specific projects that are very critical for job creation and further business investment in Ocala Marion County. So I'm happy to answer those specific questions on a request as far as I know. Madam President, I think the question that was offered by City Council was, when is the actual merger going to take place and what's the time frame? On September 30th, the EDC will merge with the Chamber, will become the Ocala Marion County Chamber and Economic Partnership. EDC will then dissolve and cease to exist, and the new business development organization will go forward. I'll try to answer any other questions in terms of programs, operations, budget, but this is all work in progress.
Yeah, I have just what you said there about going forward on a contractual basis. So is this funding tied to some sort of contract that we would enter into with the CEP?
That would be the concept by which I would think there would be an agreement. There would be some specific things that would be related to Ocala International Airport, the business park, as well as Ocala Marion County Commerce Park, involving specific marketing and prospect development initiatives for those two parks related to target industries that are best prospects for both of those areas.
So this funding is tied to specific projects and specific actions that the CEP is going to take on behalf of the city, and it's not necessarily part of your operational expenses.
That is correct. It would not include administrative costs.
Okay.
As far as I understand. Just to follow up, ma'am, on the article that you read, the core team hired TIP, Theory and Practice, company out of Austin to do an overall examination of the merger. And it was their recommendation that while CEP should take the leadership role from a private sector basis in economic and business development, it really stressed the point of having the public partners and that teamwork prevail.
Sure, and we've, you know, the city has been very active partners in the power plant, for example, and some other projects with the chamber and the EDC separately.
Yes, ma'am. And probably one other item just to provide a little bit of clarity to the process is that CEP will embark on a very aggressive private sector funding program. In that, as you mentioned, it's going to take $1.2 to $1.4 million to run this organization, and that's going to be specifically private sector funds. So, even in these still uncertain economic times, CEP will go out and raise the funds so they can do the things that are described in the preliminary strategic initiatives. So I think it's important that City Council knows that leadership of CEP is going to really go out there and try to get the money necessary to have what it's going to take to revitalize our economy.
I might interject by saying, although the legal documents for the creation of the official organization is done, the board is still being put together, the budgets are still being put together, and so although I think the expectation is that at some point in the very, very near future, this money is going to be project or initiative oriented, I wouldn't be surprised if for the first year it might be dedicated to obviously some portion of administrative costs as they try to get out of the chutes.
Pete, this was quite expensive to do, wasn't it? To combine the two organizations and with to get the outside help?
Yes, sir, Councilman. You know, for example, the study itself was about $80,000.
I don't like studies, but I know we couldn't. I know you don't like that.
Well, no. You want to pay him for the study?
But at least
somebody's had a change of heart.
Just kidding. Well, yeah, just to give an example.
Clarify that.
Yeah, you're right. There's scarce private sector funds to do this. It's a bold initiative, but it's necessary. And I would impart upon City Council that this is not the time to cut your economic development efforts. I understand, Mr. Mayor, the need for public safety and to conduct ourselves in the most efficient manner. But if you're going to see long-term economic growth and diversification, you've got to invest more money, and you have to put your faith behind CEP to continue the partnership.
I would agree with you.
I agree with that.
So if there's any other questions, I'm happy to answer them on an individual basis.
What was that award you were given?
Mrs. Rich, it was from the Florida Economic Development Council, and it was the Eunice Sullivan Economic Development Professional of the Year for the state. So Eunice Sullivan was a real proponent of business retention and expansion, and she used to work for the former Florida Department of Commerce and worked for, at then time, Secretary Jeb Bush. So anyway, she was a great lady.
But that's a great award for you.
It was very touching.
Yeah.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
I have one other, then we're done, guys. I will commend every department for coming together and working on the budget. But I just want to talk for just a minute on the city clerk's budget. She came in and did some real cost reductions, but she and I have had Angela and I have had a conversation about the records management process in her office, and if we could, if it's possible to increase that budget by about $7,500 for her needs down there.
Yes, ma'am.
And she saved more than that, so we're just giving her a little bit of it back.
Yeah, she did. She turned in some pretty significant savings for her small budget.
Yeah, the clerk's office has been fantastic through this process.
Absolutely. So that's all I have, unless anyone objects to that. And
I do have one other aid to an agency that I want to point out that was a large increase. That's in the gas tax fund. Our support of TPO SunTran has gone from $300,000 to $490,000.
Wow.
As a request for fiscal year 13. My understanding is that there will be some expansion of routes. The objective is to get transit service up to where the Dillard's and those shopping plazas are over there. Okay. So they are grant funded, and we are at a 60-40 split with the county, where we contribute 60% of the match. So that is incorporated into the gas tax fund.
Okay. All right. Mr. McLeod?
I know I probably need to ask this at the TPO meeting, but I'd like to, and I'm going to, how much those routes are being used and whether there's a potential to eliminate some that aren't used as much.
We would not be able to answer that.
At the TPO meeting. They were talking about SunTran at the last TPO meeting, and so there was some discussion about exactly figuring that out and trying to ask the same question. How many individual people are riding SunTran? Right. And because of the way their ticketing is done and the way people purchase tickets, they can't really nail that number on the head. So they're looking at some ways of using technology and ticket purchasing to try and see where their numbers are and what's happening there.
Okay. I remember you asking now.
Anything else?
Staff needs direction tonight.
Okay.
What we're looking for is direction on the initiative to close that deficit. Okay. You can go with recommendation, you go with the embellishment of it, some changes to it. We just need some direction tonight.
I'm inclined to go with your recommendation. But we're open for discussion.
You inclined to go with all that?
No, it's, what is all that? What he drew out on his paper.
It's the...
No, not all that. This.
My recommendation was $1.3 million by delaying the fire station, using one-time resources. Two is moving $300,000 of the debt service of the 800 megahertz system from the general fund to a different fund. And three was to increase the expenditures of the police department to 6.1%, or an additional $700,000.
Those three: delay the fire station, 800 megahertz, and the OPD reduction. Mr. Messley?
Well, I would support those initiatives, with the caveat that you know, we listen to the police chief one more time when he comes back and hopefully closes that $700,000 gap some, and then whatever he can't close it, then we'll have to find another another mechanism to close it.
Well, they might as well look for that mechanism in the meantime.
Well, I have a feeling that I agree with you, Ms. Rich. I have a feeling he's not going to be able to come back with the full $700,000, but if he can come back with $300,000, $400,000, at least that gets us that much closer to our goal.
And I agree with Councilman Owen. Let's not just look at the station, over on the west side. Let's look at all the buildings in the city and see if there's something else we could find out there to maybe take some of the burden off the police department.
Mrs. Rich?
I would hope that we could find that $700,000 somewhere else. Give them a chance to look over everything, and if they really can't come up with anything, we need to know where something else is. You understand what I'm trying to say?
I do.
I'm sure Greg will find something, $200,000, $300,000, but we need to know what we're going to put in the place for that. You want to do that?
No, that's fine. There are, if you look at our strategies, there are some permanent options, temporary options. Certainly we can bring more in from the delay of the fire station. It just means we still got our work to do next year as we try to close that one-time funding source. And of course, we're still hopeful that council will follow through with the seven initiatives that we brought forward, you know, the pension reform, consolidation efforts. You know, we're still looking at that. All those things are very important to ensure that we can weather this ongoing economic storm.
I was just going to say, we had the mayor had asked on the enterprise funds, we were talking about that balance. If you can have a breakout.
Yes, I'm sorry. The next workshop on July 24th is the enterprise fund workshop, so you will see
so if we have the breakout,
all of those numbers.
Sewer, fund reserve and all of the OEU. All,
yes,
all
and we're working on that. Prepared. We're not quite prepared yet. That workshop's
okay,
got another 2 weeks away.
Yeah. That's a good question. We'll have it for you.
Yeah,
and that's going along with what Mr. Musley said. All of those things, I do, hopefully we can tap the brakes on OPD and get together and try to find some more common ground and just.
We stand prepared to assist any way we can.
Get in the room and make it happen. See what we come up with.
Okay.
Yeah, and as a reminder to council, you will see the enterprises on the 24th, and then the entire budget comes back on August 14th, which is the time where everything is balanced. So that gives us some time to work through some of these additional options that council has directed today to make sure that we've got all those numbers tied out. And, you know, you guys will see the results of that on the 14th, on August 14th.
Mayor Gwynn.
Do you have that? That's kind of a fluid type document. It's not set in stone yet. I mean, what you're looking at as far as the upcoming budget.
I'm sorry, I understand the question.
You've got some document that reflects all these numbers and everything, correct?
You're looking at the document that reflects, yes.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not set in stone yet. It's still being.
Well, it's unbalanced by $2.3 million, okay. And that's what we're looking for today.
Okay.
Once we have council's direction to close the $2.3 million gap. At this point, we do not anticipate having any shortfalls or deficits in the enterprise funds, so we're not looking for support for those. Those are, for the most part, balance with the exception of the golf fund.
And make sure council understands the $2.3 million is based upon the rollback of
right.
the property tax.
Right.
Right.
Do you all have at your fingertips now just the pension costs for each? We've got a fire, a police, and a general fund pension. What are those payments for this year, and how did they change from last year? Do you all know that?
$2 million increase this year over last year.
That's for all three of them
for
together?
All three
do
of them.
Have
correct.
Them separated?
I do. They're right in my office.
Okay.
We can get those for you.
Okay.
Matt, on your list, did you have the insurance changes, the three things you wanted to do?
That's for, that's something we would look to do or complete in year 2013 to help close the deficit for 2014. So we look next year to bid out the insurance. We look to try to complete the fire consolidation. We look to freezing the drop program. Let me back up to freeze the seats of those employees that leave the drop program. We'd look to do that in fiscal year 2013 so that we can minimize or eliminate the need to use that one-time funding source of the money from the fire department to build their fire station.
Adequate direction?
Let me just pair it to make sure I've understood.
Okay.
Council agrees with utilizing $1.3 million from delaying the fire station project. You agree with go ahead and offloading $300,000 of debt service from the general fund to an enterprise fund or another fund. You'd like the police department to search diligently to see if they could come up with additional savings. If not, look to close that gap with another one of the temporary options, including perhaps additional monies from the fire station that we're looking to delay. With the expectation in 2013, we would come back to look at seriously consolidating the fire dispatch, insurance reform, as well as freezing the seats of the employees that drop out of the drop program.
And Matt, you said, excuse me, 1.3, and there's a million reflected in the delay of the fire station on this document. Is it 1.3 or a million?
It's 1.3.
Okay.
The total deficit, it's as we try to get our hands on what that number is, it went up the last couple of days, and that's why I had it increased to 1.3.
All right. Anything further?
Let me also compliment council. You know, this is obviously a difficult time. Many, many cities are struggling with the same thing. And I appreciate your willingness to tackle some tough issues and to have a very candid dialogue. And I really appreciate that direction and leadership. Thank you.
Anything further? Right, we're adjourned. We're going to take a break and come back and start the council meeting. Okay.
Can you give me my cell phone?